Okay, so on to your last sliding doors moment, which is a very different moment, and I'm very excited to talk about it. So I nearly got killed by lightning when I was 7. So I'm really intrigued by the story, and from what I've heard, it pretty much sounds like a near-death experience at a very young age. So take us back, explain what happened and why this is your sliding doors moment.
Okay, so I am 7 years of age. We are living in Norfolk at the time. We were in a very rural village called Grimston. I am, as I was speaking about earlier, just wanting to be outside all the time, whether it was swinging across the streams on the rope swing we had near the house or on rafts or playing football with my mates. I just love being outside. And this Saturday morning, it just rained and rained and rained. So my dad was a vicar. So he was in meetings all morning. I think mum was pulling her hair out because she didn't know what to do with us. My younger sister, Becky, was 6 at the time. And my younger sister, Hannah, was barely 1. So I think we've been driving mum fairly mad all morning. And there wasn't the vast entertainment there is now. You know,
we are talking, throw you outside and just deal with it.
We are talking 1980 here. it's quite a while ago. There were 3 channels. So I think there was nothing to watch. And we had lunch. And I think dad could see mum was a little bit kind of worn out by the morning, and the weather had cleared up and it was suddenly a really, really lovely sunny afternoon. So he said, right, let's get out. Let's drive to some woods near here. Let's go for a nice walk. So we all piled into the car and went to this forest near where we lived, about 3 miles away, called Massingham Woods. And straight away, I mean, I had been there before, but I was a little bit disappointed because I was the age, Jenny, where every tree had to be climbed.
Yeah.
But this was a pine forest. And if you know your trees and you know your pine trees, they do not offer much in the way of climbable branches, particularly the first 60, 70 feet of the tree. It's just trunk.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is so annoying. And we were just sort of walking down this big clearing that went through the middle of the forest. And there's just pine trees everywhere. So I'm sort of finding sticks and whacking things and generally letting off energy from the morning. And then this tree appears, which is kind of this, sorry to those who are listening who know their trees, but it was like a yew tree. It just had 2 huge kind of trunk branches. And I was up it. Like I wet up a drain pipe. Off I went, like, lovely, here we go, climbing up. Mum's getting a bit worried about me getting too high. I've had a couple of tree falls before, but nothing serious. And I came down and basically sat in the middle of the 2 trunks, and I had my sort of feet dangling over the edge. I'm only about 10 foot off the ground, not very far at all. And my dad was sort of standing to the right of me with my younger sister, Becky, and my mum was stood in front of me holding our not yet 1-year-old sister, Hannah. And it starts raining again.
Okay.
Now, not a problem because we are very nicely sheltered. It's springtime, so the trees are in full leaf. So there's plenty of protection from the rain. And it starts raining and mum just goes, I think we need to move to the other side of the clearing. So opposite where we are to the tree, opposite where I am sat right now to gain more shelter. Made no sense. So dad straight away just said, my mum's called Jill. Hey, Jill, don't be silly. We don't need to move. Everything's fine. I'm like, oh, mum, I don't want to move. And so we stayed where we were. And then about a minute later, she said it again. She said, I think we need to move to get more shelter. I'm like, well, mum, what are you on about? We're fine. Everything's good. You know, we're sheltered. Let's just wait for the rain to clear. Then we'll head back to the car and head home. And then mum said it for the third time. And this is the moment that I will remember for the rest of my days because I can take myself back to that very moment because mum looked at me squarely in the eyes. And I can remember the tone of her voice. And she says, I really do think we need to move and we need to move now. Now, I think my dad, just for a quiet life, says basically, come on, son, get yourself out of the tree. Let's do what your mum says and move across the other side. He's probably thinking, hey, she's not going to let this go. Anything for a quiet
life. Time,
let's
yeah.
just move. So I reluctantly, I think fairly grumpily, get out the tree and we trundle across to the other side. We're only now about 30 yards away from where I was sat and where we were gathered under this tree. And it's a really, really spectacularly bizarre moment to describe. But again, I can see it and hear it like it was yesterday. within probably a minute or so of getting across to be under these other trees, there was like this sound that just came really quickly. The only way I could describe it would be it sounded like someone was flying a very low tornado jet across the forest, like this roaring sound. And I remember looking up, and I can still see it now. It was like a tunnel of fire above your head, and then just this almighty bang, this big explosion, followed by this huge thud. And you could sense the movement of the ground you were on near us because it was such a big thud. And now, obviously, at this point, we're screaming. You know, my sisters are in tears. My mum's, like, screaming. Dad's trying to keep cool but doesn't know what on earth just happened. There's a smell of burnt pine. There's smoke everywhere. There's leaves going everywhere. And as it all settled down, we look back to where I'd been sat just a minute before with this total abject horror. But now as you look back on it, huge relief. The tree where I'd been sat, and I can show you the picture of it because I have it on my desk,
Oh my God.
This is what's left of the tree where I was sat. And that's my mum there holding my little sister Hannah. Wow. We went back with some friends later that night and a friend of ours took a picture of it because they realised this was quite a significant moment. We'd come, particularly me, within seconds of going. And, yeah, it was just incredible, traumatic. But a moment I look back on and go, do you know what? Were it not for my mum, I 100% would not be here today talking to you, 100%, because the ball lightning, as it was known, it is known as ball lightning. It's kind of, I think experts will tell you better than I, but it kind of travels horizontally, and it had just blown this tree apart. And we were hugely traumatized by it, ran back to the car screaming, went home, and then later that night came back with some friends when we calmed down because they'd come around to be with us, and they said, do you want to go back and see it? And we did. I'm not sure why to this day, but I'm glad we did because we got that photo.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do you know what, Jenny? I look at this photo occasionally when I'm having a bad day and I'm thinking, you know, I'm frustrated with lead two stats right now. Yeah. Just life's a bit tricky at the moment. I look back on that and go, but you're here and you nearly were.
Wow. I mean, the probability as well of that lightning hitting a tree is probably like 1,000,000 to 1 or something crazy like that,
it's incredible.
Even happening.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that I want to talk about because first of all, I bet your mum to this day was always probably like, I'm always right. Whatever I say, you probably will, whatever my mum says, she's right. But I have a really just big feeling of like, you know, especially because, you know, your dad was a vicar, faith meant a lot to you. Did you ever talk about, you know, why your mum felt like she had to keep saying, get off the tree? Because I know, like, you know, women nag their husbands and they often get worried, and my mum's always telling me not to do stuff, and you're like, yeah mum, it's all fine, but to say it three times and really mean it, you know, why did she tell you to do that? Does she know?
Oh, it's such a good question. And I appeared on an Instagram video talking about this particular incident a while ago. And it was quite interesting in the comments, because I'll explain where these comments came from in just a moment. But a lot of them kind of debunked and treated what I was saying about what I'm about to say to you with quite a lot of skepticism. And most people who were skeptical basically said it's just a mum's intuition. But coming back to what you've just said, you're right. It's the odds on that happening, of moving, and then less than a minute later, a random moment of lightning hits the very spot you were sat in is so far away from being possible, and yet it happens. And so the interesting thing was, is that the family who came round to spend some time with us that afternoon and make us tea and just, you know, try and help us deal with what had been a really traumatic afternoon. And they were guys who came to my dad's church where we were living in Norfolk at the time. And my mum had told the story to Rosemary about what had happened. And she kind of asked the same question you just asked. Well, what was it that made you move? Because listening to it rationally and looking at it rationally, there was no real reason to move.
Exactly, yeah.
You're already sheltered. If we'd been totally exposed to the elements, then you go, well, of course you moved because you were getting wet, and you were just lucky that you happened to be getting wet, because then you didn't get hit by lightning. But yeah, there wasn't actually any reason to move, which is why we resisted for two times out of her three requests for us to move. And Rosemary said to Mum, said, "What was it?" And listen, for those who don't profess to have any kind of spirituality or faith, they'll listen to this and go, this is just a bit weird. But my mum just said very, very frankly to Rosemary, she said, I just had this voice saying move. And she said, as a Christian, I believe it was God saying move. And I just felt we had to move, which is why I became so kind of adamant that we needed to move. And to this day, I've always believed her, because I'm a Christian myself. And I know people will listen, and people have, as I've just said, responded to this story. Some just go, what, amazing. Some just go, amazing coincidence. Others just go, mother's intuition, or just, you were very lucky. I look at it and go, actually, this was a moment where I do believe. And listen, I don't know the answer to the question, well, why would, if it is your God intervening in this situation, well, why has he chosen that and doesn't intervene in all these other situations I could name right now? Well, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that in terms of making sense of what just seemed an irrational need to move, that's the only thing that makes sense to me. And my mum would never be as grand as to say it was my intuition, Simon, that made me realise a ball lightning was going to appear from nowhere and blow the tree apart you were sat in. So, that's what she's always believed to this day.
I mean, no matter what you believe in, it's just an incredible moment. No matter whether it was a coincidence, no matter whatever, it saved your life and means that you're on the planet today. And whether that was God's intention, you need to be on this planet to help do something, or I don't know, but it for people that don't believe in God, it just brings up so many spiritual things. You know, the fact that you remember the moment so well and you were only seven also shows that it was such a significant part of your life. And what has this moment taught you then? I mean, you say that you've got this picture, which I also think is incredible. I'm so glad you went back and got it, and it probably helps you through those days that things are going really bad. But did it teach you anything kind of growing up? Like, does it help you along the way a lot?
I think it taught me very early on, and although the odds of this happening are so very, very small, but it was a very early life lesson that things can change really quick in life. Yeah. It might be not something quite as dramatic as that, and it might not be something life-ending or life-changing like that. I think I would have definitely gone, because it hit right where I was sat. It may have lost another couple of our family, I don't know. But it certainly was a very vivid and traumatic demonstration that life can change like that. And everything you have right now at this particular moment can be snatched away. Now, for lots of people, it isn't, but for many people, we know it can be. And, you know, my life over the last 7 years has not been quite as quick and dramatic as that, but in many ways it was very quick. It can change really, really quickly. And it's not me, Jenny, saying I'm one of these people, because I just think anyone who says this is lying. You cannot get up every day and say, carpe diem, I'm just going to seize today. I'm
exactly.
Up at 5 a.m. and I'm grasping the day by the jaffers every single day.
Yeah.
Listen, if some people like that exist, I'd love to meet them, because I don't believe anyone is like that every single day. Because there are some days where life is just hard, and it's a bit of a struggle, and it's like pushing a heavy wheelbarrow up the hill. It's just case of, let's just get through today. But I think when things are difficult and they are challenging, and maybe I am frustrated, like I had probably after leaving Sky in 2018, after Gemma died and taking the decision to look after Ethan, it's really hard to get back into work and to find work and to go back to doing what I love. And there were times when I'm thinking I'm never going to go back to doing that. But then I'd be sat here at this desk, maybe sending an email to someone about potential openings. And I'd look at this picture on my desk and go, just remind yourself, you know, you came so close to losing everything. You came so close to never even finding out whether you would make it in television. You came so close to never even having children. You came so close to none of this ever happening. Yeah. So look at that. Everything will be okay. Might not be quite at the time you expect it. And the Blue Peter journey, the journey into TV presenting, wasn't quite as I planned it. I said 3 years, it's nearly four, but everything will be okay.
Oh, Simon, I mean, if we were to write a sliding doors moment and like the definition, you know, thinking about Gwyneth getting on and off the tube, you know, this is literally a sliding doors moment of you getting on and off a tree and it's saving your life. Yeah. And it gives me shivers and it just makes you think about life and the world. Yeah. And as you say, it's such a great reminder that you never know when things are going to change. And so many things are out of your control, but certain things just feel, there's a magic to the world. There has to be. There's intuition, there's magic, there's spirituality. And I could just talk about all of this stuff for so, so long, but we're going to have to wrap it up. But